Welcome to the award-winning podcast, sponsored by Cooker, 100-degree boiling hot water straight from your kitchen tap. It's the 200th episode. Woohoo! So I have a special guest for you. I've pulled out all the stops and put up the bail money to get him out of prison. Mark is back. Hey, Mark.
Special guest, am I?
Special guest.
Well, they expected someone like Ricky Gervais or Jennifer Aniston or someone, and they've got me.
What did you go to prison for?
Well, you grassed me up. It was stealing from your house, wasn't it?
Yeah, I had to sack him for stealing. But you're back, Mark.
Yeah, I am. You're back.
How are you? Are you well?
I'm good. Oh, you will not believe how busy I've been. Let me think. Now, I got a new toothbrush, electric toothbrush.
Oh, they're great, those, aren't they? It's a really good shine on your teeth. Now, Mark, before we start, I would like to remind everyone that on this podcast, I'm likely to be giving advice because we're doing a bit of a Dear Lovejoy as Mark's back. And I'm not trained in therapy, business or medicine. So if you're taking advice off me, you're taking advice off a TV presenter, which we all know is a horrible idea. It's a terrible, horrible idea.
It's horrible. It's terrible.
How was your Christmas, Mark?
It was great. Thank you very much. As great as it can be. Yeah. You know, classic food, booze. Too many sweets.
Get any good presents?
I did. I got a very nice pair of headphones. I got some very nice books, one of which you know about because you bought for me.
Oh, yeah. You enjoying it?
I'm loving it. That's brilliant. Yeah. And I got a couple of other ones as well. But yeah, all very nice.
The book I bought, Mark, was Jerry Seinfeld's book on I think what he did is he wrote down a load of gags, didn't he?
He put into his book every joke he's ever done on anything.
It's incredible.
That's what it is.
So Mark, as a writer, as you know, so I thought it'd be a good idea to see how his brain works. So I got one for myself as well, but I haven't started reading it yet. Is it any good?
It's brilliant, and it's really fascinating. What I've been doing is going on YouTube and finding some of the bits and seeing the difference between how he writes them down and how he delivers them. It's quite interesting. You start to get to see how it works a bit. It's really good.
Okay. Well, once I've read it, I'll give you a ring and we'll work out whether we're better at writing comedy than Jerry Seinfeld.
I just assume we were. He's only worth, what, £450 billion, isn't he? So,
do you think he's worth a lot? How much is he worth?
He's worth an absolute fortune. It's one of the last times they syndicated shows, which means and every time it was syndicated across the US, he just made so much money from Seinfeld.
Any New Year's resolutions, Mark?
No, I haven't got any. Do you want to think of one?
Yeah, think of one.
Well, I'll take some drugs. I'm going to start taking drugs.
You don't take drugs, do you?
No.
No, nor do I.
I'm just going to start taking them.
why not? 2021. Yeah. Hey, do you know what? It was really weird.
I'm going to start soft. I'm going to start cannabis and just, because that's the gateway drug, isn't
it? Work your way up.
Right to heroin.
Do you know, I have never talked on this podcast because, as you know, I went on a psilocybin trial. I put myself on a trial, proper trial in a proper hospital run by proper officials for psilocybin, which is magic mushrooms. And they did brain scans and all that. And when I was under it, they were sort of analyzing my brain and how it was working and stuff. And I just heard about it and thought, well, I don't do drugs. So if I'm going to do them, I might as well do them in a hospital and do it for some good. Do you know what? It'll take forever to go into it here. I'm going to get one of the guys who ran the trial, I suppose, on the podcast. But it was just such an amazing experience. It was really strange. Yeah. I don't recommend anyone do them, by the way, unless you're in the right set and setting and in the right sort of conditions for it. But, you know, quite incredible. I would definitely do that as a podcast. I don't know why I've bothered talking about it now, because everyone now is going, well, tell us what happened.
Yeah.
I did hallucinate, put it that way. And some very interesting things happened to me. So... it's one of those years. I think this is the year that I keep thinking that we're going to get visited by aliens.
And
I keep, you know, we've heard about this 180 day thing that Trump signed.
No.
Yeah, Trump signed something that in 180 days they've got to give up all the information on the
Area 51,
something like
Area
that.
Area 51, whatever it's called. Yeah,
everything they know about. UFOs, they have to let us know. But I know that, I think it was sometime just at the beginning of New Year, that they everyone saw in this part of America, this blue sort of orb thing, which then shot into the sea. And I tell you what, I think 2021's when the aliens are going to visit us. I think that's what I'd love. Wouldn't you love it, Mark, if you were still alive when the aliens...
So there were no side effects from this drug trial.
All right, my New Year's resolution usually is every year, right, I do the same one, which is like I do not like queuing. So every year I say I'm going to see how long I can go without queuing. It lasted no time at all because queuing is what we do now, isn't it? Since coronavirus, you have to queue for food. So you know, I'm queuing now.
Two
so
hours.
That went. Yeah, it was a few hours. Yeah, for you.
No, two hours I queued at the butcher's on Christmas Eve to get my order for Christmas Day, and they'd lost it.
So what happened?
I just had to get something else.
Oh, wow.
It was so cold, I couldn't feel my hands anymore. I couldn't get my card out of my pocket to pay.
I saw all those queues, and I don't want to be...
It's the first queue I've done.
I'm like, I can't be bothered. Why? I'll just eat something else, and I did.
Well, I could know, because it was a local butcher, and I thought, he's going to be out of pocket, and it's a local business. I didn't want to sort of, you know, it's bad if I hadn't picked my order up, and then it turned out they'd lost it anyway. So,
yeah, okay. So, listen, my New Year's resolution, I've got a great one this year, and this is because my friend Steathers, he said this to me in a text not so long ago, and I love it. Right, I'm gonna stop having imaginary debates in my head.
Oh,
so I mean, this is I've unfollowed so many people on Twitter because there's just these people who are addicted to going on Twitter and campaigning for what they believe in. So maybe it's Brexit or I don't know, what any one of the campaigns, whatever it is, you know, anti-Boris or anti-Labour or whatever it is. And they go on, and what you end up doing is you read it and then you have the debate in your head about what you would say to these people. And it just fogs up your head. So I've decided this year that I'm going to try not to have any debates. And the reality is, you know, I know what I think about Brexit, but I've got to be really honest with myself. I know bugger all about trading with Europe. I've never done it. I've never done imports and exports.
You know,
I literally know nothing.
Years, man and boy.
I know nothing about how it runs. You know, when everyone says, oh, it's not a democracy and all that, I literally don't know. And so I've got these really strong opinions on Europe and Brexit. And yet I know nothing about it. Same with coronavirus. I keep swaying about what I think about it. And the reality is I know very little about it, apart from if you get it, it's not nice. So I've decided just to butt out of it all now and just let the experts deal with it. And then when I'm asked by David Cameron to make a vote on it, even though I know nothing about it, I'll just have to make my mind up then and there. But apart from that, I don't want to go through the fictitious imaginary debates in my head. Good resolution.
That's a great resolution. I've actually this year come off social media completely. I have no trace of social media in my life now. It's gone.
It's a good idea. And just getting very political, well, getting a tiny bit political just quickly here. The one thing I have realised is this is where we lose all our listeners, is how important taxes and taxation, because we're having to pay for everything, all the hospitals and everything else, and we all have to contribute and put into that. And I think, you know, I really do genuinely think as a country we need to clamp down on people who are avoiding tax. I think it's a bad thing, but I think it's a bad PR. I think the first thing we could do is anyone who's gone to Dubai on holiday, you know, that we should put them under a tax investigation, or Barbados or anyone like that. They can't have all the good. I'm on TV and I'm not in Dubai. I mean, what the hell's going on?
I don't know how you cope.
I should be there, but
understand that you're a special case and you should be able to just go anywhere you like.
See, on TV, I've worked really hard to get on TV.
Yeah. I mean, you shouldn't be queuing either, to be honest.
TV Tim, exactly. But I just think a quick investigation of tax with all that lot. But I think the way they do it, Mark, is like everything. It's the world needs a good bit of PR, and taxation needs good PR. Because when I pay tax, I don't think it's going on scroungers like a lot of people do. I think it goes to help people. It's life-saving operations on children and our grandparents. When I see people who avoid tax, I think you're letting children and old people die. That's what you do. I think if we change the way that's
guilt trip.
Yeah, exactly right. And go, oh, you saved all that money, but you're letting children die. So, but never more if we needed to pay tax. And I suppose the tax is going to go up. Right. Mark, my parents had the COVID vaccination a few weeks ago.
Oh, right.
They said they don't feel any different, but they've started using Microsoft Office. Boom.
Go on. Wait, hang on.
It's a joke.
I'm trying to work it out.
I didn't know whether that joke would hit or not, but they have actually had the vaccine. That's
God, it's still. I'm still but, waiting for it to land.
So Microsoft Office is owned by Bill Gates and the conspiracy theorists.
That was a great joke. I can't believe you haven't, because that's straight out of Jerry Seinfeld's book. I thought you might have just read that.
Oh yeah, it's up there, isn't it? I've got another one. I'll do another one in a minute. I've written two jokes.
Can you let me know what it is?
What?
So I can at least pretend to laugh.
I'll put my hands up. Are you doing any health stuff? Because we've always done health stuff on this podcast. So you were doing the keto, and you were doing.
So badly off the rails over Christmas because I don't eat sugar at all. Once a week I have, or maybe twice a week I have a beer or something. You know.
Yeah.
But that's the only sugar I have. It's Christmas. I've gone potty. So I'm starting back doing the 3-day water fasts come Sunday afternoon.
Oh, I just don't think I could do that. So you don't eat anything. You just drink water for
black coffee, black tea, water. Yeah.
For 3 days.
So I do Sunday lunchtime to Wednesday lunchtime. So I have a big lunch on Sunday and then I don't eat again till Wednesday lunchtime.
And mentally, how does that work?
Great. The first day is tricky and the rest of it's okay. I lost about 10 pounds the first time I did it, which is, you know,
is it just sort of your body? Is it just liquid in your body?
Cells start rebuilding. There's a process called autography or something, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really good. It's apparently very good for staving off things like cancer and stuff as well. It's worth reading about, but you feel so good after that. You feel so good after the 3 days.
Problem is, I keep reading these things and I keep doing different fads and I just don't seem to ever feel that different. I still do cold showers from Wim Hof.
Yeah. I was going to ask you that because I still do that all the time. I was so cold today and I got in the shower and you know, when it's hot, you go, ooh. And I suddenly thought, I wonder if Lovejoy still doing his cold showers, because I couldn't think of anything worse than this morning. It's people, about minus one.
People keep asking me how I do them. And the way I do it is I have a wash first and a warm shower.
Yeah.
Right at the end, I turn the water on to cold.
Yeah.
And then the way I do it is, I don't know if this is the right way to do it, but we'll have to get Wim back on to find out. But I just stand as still as I can and take the pain. And I just see if I can control the feeling if I need to get out of here. And I do it for about, on a really good day when I'm feeling really stupid, I do it for 2 minutes. And most days I just do 60 seconds, sort of just freezing cold and your body just. But the thing is, it's the pain for when you get out, you feel amazing always, you know. And you've done cold showers, Mark, you know about that. The one thing I tried to do was, you know, Jesse Itzler, he was the guy who he was the guy who asked David Goggins to move in with him.
I don't know this, no.
All right, okay. So there's this guy, you know David Goggins, of course, right? So David Goggins is the lunatic who just
ultra marathons.
Oh, he's unbelievable. Yeah. He is unbelievable. He started a clothes range. It's all sold out.
Oh, really?
Good on him for doing that. Yeah, but he just does all these.
I thought this was going to be the joke.
No.
I thought you'd go, started a clothes range.
No, the joke's
coming. I'm going to call it something like.
Mate, the joke's coming. The joke's coming. Okay. It's coming. It's going to be good. So Itzler met him once. They were doing an ultra marathon and everyone had a team of four. Goggins turned up and just did it on his own. And so didn't take part in the relay, just completed it on his own. I think he beat most people as well. So we asked him to move in with him for 30 days. Anyway, I read this book and it's brilliant. It's so funny. It's great. Goggins just basically wakes him up all night and gets him to do ridiculous things, jumping rivers and, you know, running 4 miles for 48 hours, 4 miles every 4 hours for 48 hours. I mean, it's just insane stuff like that. But Jesse Itzler says this thing right at the beginning of his book that he only ever eats fruit till noon. So that's all he does, is eat fruit till noon, because that's the time that your body can process. So I've been doing that. I don't feel any different, but he says
I suppose it's that minimal gains thing. If you were trying to shave an hour off an ultra marathon and you tried all these things would probably work. But as we just do, you know, regular Joe exercise, don't we?
Yeah.
Joe, we're not trying to shave five minutes off our run.
No, he doesn't say that. The theory is that you take up more energy digesting than anything else. Fruit takes up less energy. It goes straight through the stomach, straight into one of the intestines, small or large, right. I don't know, whatever. And so the only time to eat fruit is in the morning, as much as you want, before noon. And then all of the fruit just gets digested really quickly, gives you sort of energy.
Right.
And then during the rest of the day, you eat all the stodgy stuff. And then when you sleep at night, it digests it all. Then you wake up fresh again to go with all the fruit. So I've been doing it, but I don't feel any different at all. So
how long have you been doing it for? 2 days.
No, I did it. I had a bit of a break sometimes. I had my daughter Jamie with me. I needed energy in the morning. I actually felt like I needed energy, so it's clearly not working. No. But I don't know. I've done it for about a month now. Don't feel any different. But I have days, cheat days, where I'm hungry and eat an egg or something. So are you going to do it? Have you got any plans for? We're going to get on to talking about the podcast, actually, 200 years. I've also got some problems.
200 years?
200 episodes. Have you got any plans for the new year? Are you going to take anything up, do anything? Have you thought about it?
I'm going to start with just getting back into shape after. I mean, it's not just Christmas. It's been lockdown as well. The very first lockdown, I got into quite a decent nick. And the second lockdown, I just thought, ah, fuck this. And just started eating again.
I've been on a mental roller coaster, and sometimes I'm up, sometimes I'm down, like everybody else. But I do think that human contact is one of the most important things we can have, and I just really, really miss going down the pub with my mates, and just having a couple of beers, whoever it's with, just some company, and just having that. Pubs are just great for that, aren't they? I really miss it. But I'm also
I'm going to take advantage of the sort of, I don't suppose this is going to end anytime soon. So I'm going to take advantage of this and do a dry January, because we can't go to the pub anyway. So,
but I'm also a bit worried that because of the way when you go out, you're not allowed to talk to, I like talking to people, I like mixing, and suddenly I like talking to strangers as well. And then suddenly my mate was phoning me up and going, you know, we're about to lock down again. Do you want to go out for a beer? And I was like, no, I'm all right. And it's like, I'm a bit worried that that's what's going to happen to me. I just don't want to go out. So
I made full use of the pubs between the lockdowns.
Yeah. I think I might take up a new sport. You know, a lot of people, Mark, take up new sports. I think I'm going to take.
Christ, here it comes. I can see this one coming up the garden path.
Mark.
It's like Morecambe and Wise set up.
I'm just sliding it in. A lot of people take up new sports, Mark. I'm going to take up skydiving.
Are you, Tim?
Know what? Yeah. I like the simplicity of it. With most sports, when you're learning, you make loads of mistakes over and over again. Though with skydiving, you only make the mistake once.
What a bleak joke.
I'll tell you what, Jerry Seinfeld, I'm coming for you. I am coming for you. That was a joke, everyone. It wasn't real. I'm not really taking up skydiving. I haven't got any more of those, by the way. That's it. So I'm all out.
Is that your lot for the year?
Yeah, it is.
You used them all up on the first one.
No, I'm going to write some more jokes. I've decided that's what my New Year's resolution is going to be. I think those two are good. Which did you prefer? Did you prefer the Microsoft Office one and with the vaccination?
Well, considering you had to explain the first one, I think the second one was better.
Mate, the listeners were laughing. They were like chuckling away on the bus or wherever they are, going, hey, the Microsoft. It's easy. It's Bill Gates and all that sort of stuff. He's taking the mickey out of the conspiracy theorists. Right, 200 shows, Mark. What did you learn?
Well, what I enjoyed. The first thing I was
saying. Ask you what you enjoyed. I asked you what you learned.
Well, let me finish the sentence. The most eye-opening thing, glib comment at the beginning aside, was all the drug reform stuff. That yes. was one of the biggest things I took away, I think. We had yeah. Johan Hari, didn't we? We had the former copper.
Peter Blexley.
With those great two books.
Neil Woods.
Thank you. Just lost him momentarily there. Yeah, and Peter Blexley.
Yeah.
Blexley.
All of them talked about it. Yeah, and for anyone who doesn't know, in a previous episode, we had Peter Blexley on, and we got drunk, didn't we, on wine, red wine. Mm. I used to give presents to people. I don't have to do that now. It saved me a fortune, Zoom.
You could just bax me.
I was giving people, and I gave him red wine. He said, should we open it? I went, yeah, all right. So we opened it and we started drinking. And then he went, yeah, by the way, we should legalize drugs. And Mark and myself were looking at each other going, well, he's being a loony. Does he know, you know, we're going to put this out? Because it's just the idea was so alien to me. And then later on, he sort of gave us all these contacts and we ended up, and it's like, it just makes so much sense to they were putting some facts on the other day about Portugal. Since they've been doing drug reform, their death from drugs have just plummeted, and yeah. so it's crime from it and everything. And you know, it's something that we really need to look into. And you know, I've been big on trying to promote it as much as I possibly can, and I just think we need to carry on. But yeah, you're right, that was a real big thing. And also on the psilocybin trial, one of the things that psilocybin does, which is magic mushrooms, is it's kind of good for mental health and resetting your brain. Again, I don't want to go into it too much now because it's I don't think it's...
You could squeeze a whole episode out of it later down the line.
That's it, Mark. Yeah, I can squeeze an episode out. No, because I don't want to, you know, I want to give it time if I want to talk about it. But my understanding, which is when we had the brain surgeon on. Ah, oh, God, his name escapes me.
Raul
Jandial.
Thank you.
Yeah, he explained that.
Two old blokes trying to remember stuff.
we're like my nan and granddad. Who's that in the film? Married to so-and-so. And who's, yeah, who'd you... So anyway, when he came on, he said, and this is true, the brain surgeons and neuroscientists and stuff, they like the idea of, they use ketamine for OCD, ketamine sprays. They like MDMA for helping mental health issues. Yeah.
Well, PTSD is one of them as well, isn't it? That it helps.
Sorry?
PTSD.
PTSD, yes. MDMA is good for that, I think. And psilocybin, LSD. But because they were all made illegal a long time ago, no one's been able to do anything. So they're just opening up now and starting to experiment with them again, which is why I ended up on a trial, putting myself forward for a trial. So that was it. Yes. Yeah, so that's what you learn. I learned sleep is really important. That's the one thing which I take home from this.
So much sleeping.
Have you?
But proper naps in the afternoon as well as a full night's sleep.
Yeah, if you haven't listened to the sleep episode we did on this, it's between 7 and 9 hours sleep every adult needs. If you get less than that, you're going to start, after a while, you're going to start getting illnesses. Especially they think it's connected to, I don't know, high blood pressure and things like that, but also Alzheimer's and dementia. So you need to get your sleep. It's where you reset. It's also where your body heals itself. Also, if you're tired, your body goes into survival mode and you start trying to crave calories as well and things like that. I've also learned meditation calms the mind. I still do different variations of meditation.
That's the one thing I can't get my head
into. I'm getting better at it. I'm getting better at it because I'm sort of learning more about it and I don't beat myself up anymore. So I've got different forms of doing that. And one of that, there's different ways. Acceptance is the key to life, which was taught to me by Megan Heim. We'll get on to her in a minute. And that is one of the big things I've learned, that whatever happens to you, you've got to accept it because it is happening. So any problems, that you're supposed to have problems. That's what humans do. You get up every day and you solve your problems. But one of the things is with coronavirus, it was very hard for me to accept it to begin with. And I really struggled with the idea that I had my freedom taken away because I value that so much. And the other thing is diet is so very important. We did loads of podcasts on diet. And yeah.
Well, we got involved as well with the Tim Spector study, didn't we? Which was
great. Doing that trial, yeah.
Yeah, that was great. That was a real eye opener, and just, you had to really fully immerse yourself in it. It properly took up time to think about and do. The worst bit being the blood tests in the morning, nipping the ends of your fingers with razor blades. Ah. Oh.
Yeah, that really hurt you, didn't it?
I couldn't play guitar. I couldn't pick up a pen. I could barely use my phone. Don't know why it affected me so much.
Well, that's one thing I also learned was trying to have tolerance for people. Like that obviously hurt you more than it hurt me. For some people, we don't know what other people's feelings are like, do we? So, no. so um, uh, For instance, my brain's desperately trying to remember all the names. I should have had have a list here. But when we learned that people's hunger is different, do you remember that? And so, you know, you might think, oh, why are they eating so much? They might feel that they're more hungry than you are. Mm. You just don't know what people feel like and how it is. 200 shows, Mark. Brain surgeons to Sleaford Mods. What are some of the guests that you remember fondly?
Well, there's two that sprang to mind immediately. I'm sure you'll jog my memory. One was John Ronson. I just love his stuff. And actually, I recently joined Audible over lockdown, and I've just been listening to a lot of his books. So that was a great moment for me to meet him. And
Do you know why I like him is because I like the way he writes his books.
They're brilliant.
I find his books very easy to read. And yeah. I think there's a real, because I've read so many books for this podcast as well. I've learned there's a real art to write. Well, we all know this, there's an art to writing books, but to actually engage someone like me who wasn't a massive book reader, who now is, there's a real technique to getting someone's attention and then keeping it. And he
really
does
that. Do you listen to all their books?
I have listened to some, yeah, but I've got really into reading again. I really just like, I like the process of the words going into my eyes.
See, I love being able to walk, because I go for a big walk every day. I go up to the Downs where we live. We've got these big Downs, and I go for about an hour and a half, something like that. And I could just lose myself in a book, and I'm learning while I'm walking, which I absolutely love, doing two things at once. Mm. The other one's Johnny Vegas, which was just absolute dream, the Johnny Vegas episode.
Yeah, because we didn't interview Johnny, did we? We interviewed Michael.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And that was the really interesting thing that everyone notices is you're interviewing the actual person rather than the character. Same thing with James Acaster. I was interviewing James the person, not James the character. And it was quite weird doing both of them because it's slightly off-putting because you're thinking, hold on, this is a different person I'm meeting here.
And then just on that line, the character and the person are exactly the same thing in this Chris Kamara, which was spectacular.
He was great. He was really good.
You should get him back. You should get him back. But I heard him on a podcast the other day, and he'd done a version of I Wish It Could Be, you know, the Slade song.
Yeah.
No, Wizard, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wizard. And he misremembered the title, and he said, I wish it could be Christmas every year.
Oh, that's brilliant.
And the host said, well, we can grant that wish for you. That's absolutely fine.
When Johnny Vegas came on the podcast, it was really one of those really hot days, wasn't it? And we went out into my garden. I've got Showbiz plastic grass because I can't be bothered to do any gardening. And it's London, so it's a small garden. And there's a small patch of grass.
You couldn't really mow it, could you?
Why?
You turn the mower on and it would just... You'd be at the end.
That's probably it. Yeah. So he was having a sneaky fag, and he decided to put it out on the grass, and I just looked down and saw that my grass
was melted. I mean, it's testament to how realistic it looks.
Yeah. Well, true. Very true. Megan Heim was a great guest.
Oh yeah, of course.
Because her book really was something that changed my thought processes on life. As I say, the acceptance thing was really good. And she turned up, and was she one of the first guests we had in the kitchen?
And it was slightly different. She was one of the first, but it was a Saturday morning, and we felt like we should really be a bit more hospitable. It wasn't really in work hours, was it? And we thought she's taken up a Saturday morning to come and see it. So we bought too much food.
Yeah, I bought pastries and everything, things we don't eat.
And she's in a really, because she's so fit and what she does, you know, she has to be super fit. She clearly doesn't eat those sorts of things anymore. But it was chocolate cakes and pastries and sweets. And having to take them all home.
Yeah. Are you hungry? She went, no, I'm all right. I'll have a glass of water.
80 quid's worth of pastry.
And the other one was... The other one was, which was really big for me. But the biggest one, I think, is the hair transplant episode.
That was good. Yeah.
For anyone who's never heard this, I decided to put myself in for a Showbiz hair transplant. So I was going to get hair moved around from the bottom of my head to the top of my head. I just signed up for it, and I thought, I'm going to do this. I paid the deposit, and we thought, well, I might as well do it as a podcast, as I'm going to do it. And we went to the hair transplant shop. the clinic, I suppose you'd call it. And I sat down and I was waiting. And Mark was there with the not cameras, with audio equipment and everything. And I suddenly went really hot and I went, I can't do this. And then I went, I need to go for a walk. And when I came back, I think, Mark, you said to me something like, you don't really want to do this, do you? And I was like, oh, I don't know. And I walked off and lost my deposit. But it was a really big thing for me because sometimes some of the reasons why you do things are not what they seem. And I think the real reason was I was struggling a bit mentally with my mental health. And I thought, if I've got hair, suddenly I'll be young, pretty Tim Lovejoy again. And, you know, I'm going to prevent the aging process. You can't prevent the aging process. That's it.
So, and you might have come back with that highlighted mullet. So I think it all round, I think for everybody's sake, it's a good thing.
I think the big thing about doing hair transplant, though, and you've got to understand with a lot of these things like plastic surgery and transplants and things, that once you sign up for it, I think you might be signing up for it for the rest of your life.
Yeah, because it wasn't a one-off deal, was it?
No, it wasn't. You suddenly realize that the original hair will still fall out. And in the last 6 months or so, I've had so much hair fall out. So it's like I would have had to have gone back and done it again, because where all they do is fill in the patches, and they don't do it naturally. They do make it look natural, but they just fill it all in. One of my friend's dads has had 7 transplants. He started early because his hair just, like, you got to that age and all his hair was falling out. So you have to keep signing up to have this stuff happen to your head. And it's just like, actually, there's something about growing old gracefully, I think. I don't know. What have you been watching on TV, Mark? Let's talk about loads. That. We like that.
Oh, loads. Well, I've gone a bit mad for Scandi stuff recently.
It's great.
So I've watched the whole of Borgen. Have you seen Borgen? That's on Netflix. It's a political, Danish political thing.
You told me about that in a text, so I've watched about 6 of them. It's really good.
It's brilliant. Right. You get sucked in much more when you start to really care about the characters, which is a sign of very good writing. I watched DNA, which is an iPlayer. Have you seen that?
No.
That's great. What was the other one? Quicksand is one you should watch with the twins.
What?
Because it's their age.
Right.
And it's a school. It starts off with a school shooting. And you think this girl's going to be the victim. It turns out she's the shooter.
Oh, just give it away.
No. This happens in the first, 5 minutes.
Right, okay.
And then it pieces to get, goes backwards and pieces it all together. And it's, but it's like a teen one. So they're all like your daughter's ages. But it's fantastic. It's really worth watching.
Think about Scandinavian movies or foreign things. I watched Call My Agent.
Is that good?
First series is, I thought, was really good. And then the second and third series, it got a bit weird. And I did kind of watch it because I was bored. Yeah. I kind of watched it back and I just kept watching it. But then what I didn't realize was all the people in it in each episode was a famous French person. So they built the episode around that. And it was only when I got
like
to
a sort of extras.
Yeah. And it was only when I got to the last couple of episodes, I texted one of my mates who had told me to watch it. And I went, are these people in it? Are they famous? She goes, well, yeah, that's the whole idea because they're French, famous French. I had no idea, but I recognized one of them towards the end. I was like, I think I
Gerard Depardieu.
Yeah, it was something like that. It wasn't quite. And I was just like, wow, that is so I understood why the writing got a bit weird. But you know, I find Netflix is an awkward bedfellow because I find it so comforting sometimes. And that and I don't know, maybe we'll talk about that in a minute. But the great thing about subtitled TV is you have to read it, so you can't look on your phone.
Why I watch it, because I am so easy to I watch everything on my laptop and I find myself clicking onto another window and then suddenly going, I've forgotten what's going on. So
my phone addiction is getting worse.
Is it worse?
Yeah, and I know why now. Because I'm going to try and get this guy. I'm reading a book on it. I'm going to try and get this guy on the podcast, but he's an American dude. But basically, we're in survival mode constantly. That's how we go through life. And finding out new information is great for surviving. So we crave it, and it rewards us constantly finding out new information. So even if you're just finding out that some celebrity doesn't like Brexit or something, it's still new information. So you're craving it. So you keep going on and renewing and renewing and renewing, and you can't help it. So you shouldn't beat yourself up. You should just learn that you've got to put it in another room and stay away from it, otherwise. Well, and I'm struggling, and I'm watching football, and if it doesn't grab me, something weird happens because there's no crowd anymore and there's no atmosphere. So, and there's that stupid piped in atmosphere, which is all right, but you know, and something, game gets a bit of a lull in it, and you could be a great match, like, I don't know, Chelsea Leeds, but there's a lull, and I find myself turning to my phone to see what my friends are saying about it, or see what Twitter's saying about it, whatever. And then I'm stuck on it for 10 minutes. I'm missing the game. It's really weird. And I think everyone must admit they're going through this, aren't they?
That's another thing I've stopped this year.
Watching football?
Yeah, don't do it anymore.
Why?
I just got too... I was getting too angry with the VAR stuff, and that Everton game really... the Liverpool-Everton game pissed me off. And then there was another game later where they were awarded a penalty against them in the last minute, which changed... And it wasn't. And you just think, I'm wasting 2 hours a week at least watching this, and I'm not enjoying it.
The biggest problem with football, Mark, is the commentators have bought into any form of contact is a foul.
Yeah.
And so they're bought into it, and so have a lot of the fans. Oh, he contacted him. And it's like, That's not the rule. The rule is you trying
it's
to...
It's unfair.
Yeah, is it unfair when you're trying to win the ball? The ball is there to be won. That was the idea of the game. Yeah. So it was a United game the other day where against Villa, they're just running along and Pogba just sort of trips himself up. There was no malice in it, but it's like a penalty. There you go. Yeah. You've just lost 3 points, Villa, and United are top of the league or joint top of the league or whatever. You know, and that's what happened. It was like it's kind of weird and it's frustrating for football fans, I think. And the industry's bought into it, and so have all the officials. And then VAR is just it's a great metaphor for life, Mark, because VAR is trying.
Is this another joke?
No, it's not. No. It's it's a great metaphor for life because we're trying so hard to make everything fair. We're making everything bullshit because life is just not fair. Right. I've been watching music documentaries, Mark.
Okay.
That's what I've been watching. And there's something I've got to admit to you and myself and everybody is I've been going through quite a lot of, all the time I've been doing these podcasts, I realize I've been going through quite a lot of trauma. I don't want any sympathy, but I've been in and out of, sort of depression and mental health issues. And one of my problems is I've had a problem with music. It triggers me. Have I ever told you this before?
No.
So I don't listen to a lot of music. I haven't done over the last maybe 12 months or so, because especially when we went into COVID lockdown and stuff, because music is so powerful, right? It can make you feel $1 million, but it also can send you spinning into misery. So I'm very careful. So I listen to talk radio and I make sure I don't listen to anything. And then just recently there's like the light shards have come through the trees, and I've suddenly thought, you know, I reckon I can get back into music. I listen to a lot of six music, and I thought, oh, I'm gonna dip my toe big time and start watching some documentaries. So I started by watching the Beatles documentary, the Ron Howard one. I know you're a massive Beatles fan. How brilliant is that? What an amazing band.
Yeah. I have to say, I was going to suggest you get the Beatles anthology and just go through it week, you know, do one a week.
That documentary, man, they were huge. Nothing's ever happened to a human like that before.
No,
like,
it's astonishing, isn't it?
What they went through, but you know, because there was obviously TV and radio and selling
music.
It's
the first time it all happened.
It's incredible. And they were the first singer-songwriters, weren't they? As a band, really. But other people had music written for them generally, although... And then I went into, I watched the Studio 54 documentary, which is great, all about disco and how they decided to kill disco eventually. And that was fantastic. And then I watched the Bee Gees documentary.
Okay.
And I said that in a very strange way. The Bee Gees.
You emphasized the second G.
Bee Gees.
Bee Gees.
The Bee Gees documentary. And their career, they had two careers. I literally knew nothing about the first career.
The first 60s sort of psychedelic kind of, there's some great songs off those first.
So
first
Noel Gallagher's on it, banging on saying they're like the Beatles. And you're like,
yeah, they are, they're brilliant.
What the hell? And then when the disco was thought of as disgusting and killing the world and everything else, which is what everyone considered it to be, they killed it. And then they came back and reinvented themselves as... they went from 60s to disco, and then they killed themselves because of disco. And then I'm ruining the documentary for everyone here. And then they reinvented themselves as songwriters, and they went through all the songs they've written. Holy shit. Yeah. They wrote some massive classic songs. So
my favorite one of theirs is, what's it called? You know, To Love Somebody. Do you know that one?
Sing it.
No, absolutely not. It's fantastic. Look that up. To Love Somebody.
I'm sure it was on the documentary.
Yeah, it will be.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry.
I've been doing a lot of those.
That's great.
I'm really into them. So, right. Just before we get onto problems, we're going to run out of time soon because we're only going to do this for an hour. What's been annoying you? I like these because.
Okay.
How's your cat, by the way? How's Myrtle?
Myrtle's great. Do you like my t-shirt? Look.
It's a cat. No, I don't. No,
you don't like that.
Not really. No.
It is the use of the word "excited" and more specifically, what comes before it or after it, I should say, sorry. So when people say, I'm excited to, it doesn't make any sense. Or I'm excited for drives me absolutely. It's you're excited about something. You can't be excited to something. And you can't be excited for something.
Yeah,
I know language changes, but that one really grinds my gears. I can't tell you how much it annoys me.
It's social media. I find myself using it because social media doesn't have tone on it and you can't work out sarcasm or joke. Every time I tweet anything or put anything on Instagram, I have to put the laughy face with the tears coming out.
Yeah.
Because you've got to go to people, guys, this is a joke. This is don't take this seriously. I'm not really saying I'm this or whatever. And if you don't put that little emoji, but I also put it and think that's such a load of crap. No, it's not that funny. I mean, my jokes I did at the beginning of this podcast,
they're great. They're proper.
They're
jokes.
Funny, and they're which one did you prefer, by the way? Did you prefer
second one?
The skydive one or the vaccination?
Yeah, skydiving one, because the second one you had to explain it, Tim.
I also going on your annoyance there on language. I'm dying. That really annoys me. Dying. Oh my God. That is so funny. I'm dying. No, you're not.
We all are technically.
Yeah. We are. Yeah. Fair point. Yeah. I didn't look at it like that. So I've changed my opinion. They're right. They are dying. Slowly dying.
But it means you have to say it at the end of every sentence.
Exactly right. Now I am, things which annoying me. I'm boarding, being bored. Can't stand it. Yeah, being bored. Bald, as in no hair. I hate it. It's really annoying me. Yeah, because I like it as in the convenience. And I like the fact I don't have to worry about what my hair looks like. But what I hate is I don't have choice anymore and I have no freedom.
No.
I have to look like every other bald bloke there. So, if I choose to have a Mohican, then I'm like, hey, I've got a Mohican. This is what I look like. And it sends all I can do is be bored. So I'm like every other bored man out there.
That's why I've grown a handlebar moustache. Can you see?
Oh, yeah, that's horrible. What is that?
It's a handlebar moustache.
You're going to turn into a goatee?
No.
Why have you got that?
I was bored. And as you say, I can't do anything with my hair. So it's a sort of the last hair expression I have.
That's what all bald people do, isn't it? They try and find glasses and hats and beards and anything.
And you end up looking like a game of Guess Who. I reckon you should start wearing a wig and see how long it before someone says something.
I've been looking online.
Going on telly in a wig and everyone's going, is he? Don't say anything.
Have you ever looked online and seen those toupees now? They're amazing.
No.
They are absolutely off the scale. I fancy doing one of those one day, just stick a load of hair down. I have done that though. I've done the whole lot. I've sort of grown my hair a bit and then cut it shorter and then cut it short around the sides. I mean, it's like minimal, isn't it? From a one to a two. Thought, oh, that looks different. No, it doesn't. It looks the same. And then I've grown my beard out and I
missed the beard.
What, when I got just a
I like the beard.
White beard.
You should have grown it around Christmas.
Yeah, well, I was going to try to, and then I don't know, and then some stuff happened, and I thought, do you know what? I just find it uncomfortable. So it's nice when you I like what David Goggins says. Before he goes to do anything, he has a shave down, shaves everything off, goes completely bald, and then gets in the zone. And I think that's how I'm going to have to look at life now, just be the bald-headed guy. Don't like it, though. Other things which have annoyed me... on Netflix, it annoys the hell out of me because it's addictive. It's another thing that we're finding to get addicted to. And now my WhatsApp groups, which used to be full up with people talking about football and various odds and sods, it's just like, what are you watching at the moment? It's Netflix, it's Amazon Prime, it's iPlayer, it's all these things people are getting into series. And I think some of them are so crap. You're right. I think the foreign ones are actually better. And I think the reason is, I've been analysing this, is because we don't know whether they're crap or not, because you're too busy reading.
Trying to work out what's going on.
to know whether the acting's all over the place or what's going on. And it also feels like it's emotional tourism anyway, is what I like to call it, is you get taken on a little trip yourself. You're not living your own life. You're living somebody else's and their adventure. And during coronavirus, because we're all stuck inside, if you're watching something and it's a big adventure, then you're getting an escape from the four walls of your house. So it's a great thing, but I'm finding it far too addictive and I'm worrying about it. So, I'm trying to turn it off.
I would worry, Tim.
Pardon me, Mark, I like to worry.
But when life, hopefully life will go back to normal at some stage and you won't watch as much. But at the moment, there's not really a great else to do apart from exercise, read, watch stuff. If you're lucky enough to have a job, do your job, but you can't go anywhere.
I keep thinking to myself, when this is all over, there's going to be some dramatic changes. You know, we've all realised
we're just going to slide back into the same old bad habits, aren't we?
Yeah, I keep thinking we all realise now how connected we are in the world and how connected, and we're all the same, and you know, and that we realise the distribution of the wealth is poor, and you know that we need to work out a new way to you know, finance the world, and there's plenty of money and food and everything in the world and I just think, nah, sod it, we're just going to, exactly right, we're going to slide back to being absolute wankers again, aren't we? And just going, what's right, what's good for me, that's what I care about, what's good for me,
how does it affect me. I'm planning a holiday for when this is over, though.
Where are you going?
Yeah, I'm going to go to Hamburg. I'm going to spend a night there, look around all the Beatles stuff there, and then I'm going to go two nights in Copenhagen, two nights in
Copenhagen,
Stockholm, and then I get the ferry, there's an overnight ferry to Finland, and I'm going to go back to Helsinki.
That's great.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. It's because I had my 40th in lockdown, so I didn't really get to do anything. So I'm going to treat myself to that when we come out.
Yeah, I fancy a little trip to. I quite like the idea of doing more Europe.
Yeah, I love city breaks. They're my thing.
Yeah, I think so, because I used to do a lot of long haul, and it's just a lot of time on the plane, and it's like, yeah. So I don't know. Anyway, should we do a couple of problems? We haven't got a lot of time left.
Yeah, let's go for it. Yeah.
So I put this out on Twitter the other day, and so I'll just do a few. We'll do them quickly. People wanted my advice. Can I just remind you, I'm a TV presenter. So if you take advice off me, it's a really horrible idea.
It's a terrible, horrible idea.
I'm just not qualified in anything. Okay, so H says, how do I feel my 10-day self-isolation? I think this is easy. Read. There's a reason books are still popular, even though there's Netflix and the internet. Books are not just for holidays. And I do think you can
or
get
Christmas. Or is that dogs?
That's dogs. You can get so much out of reading a book. It just is, you just got to work at it a bit. And that's the thing. So it's like, you know, you do a good book and you get through a good book. Apparently, my daughters were telling me the other day, the bigger the book, the more satisfied you are at the end. So there's some form of a release that you've done it and you've actually got through it. It was a challenge and you got through it. So what are you reading, Mark? Anything good?
Look at the size of this. Can you see this Lennon book? Look at that.
John Lennon.
Look at the size of that.
Tell us something about John Lennon. I heard something horrible about John Lennon the other day. What
That's because I told you about it.
Oh, was it? What did you tell me?
I'm not repeating it on this.
Okay. Have you got something good to tell us about John Lennon?
Off the top of my head,
have you watched the documentary about the bloke who killed John Lennon and why he
Mark
killed
Chapman.
John Lennon? Yeah, have you? Because you're not supposed to mention his name, are you? That's the problem.
Why?
Because he wanted to be famous. That's why he killed John Lennon on it. So you're not supposed to mention his name. But yeah, there's a documentary on it. And I watched the first 10 minutes of it. And I thought, I'm doing exactly what I'm not supposed to be doing. Why have we made a documentary? It's the guy who wrote the book on why he did it. Did a documentary. You shouldn't be watching that sort of stuff, because then you give them what they want in life, a bit of attention. Okay, listen, this one comes from Louise. How do I get motivated to lose weight and start exercising in 2021? I know the answer to this. And I do know the answer to this because I gave up smoking once.
Oh, no.
But yeah, I mean, for everyone who knows how to give up smoking, the way I did it is just don't stick another cigarette in your mouth. Then you have given up smoking. And it's as simple as that. Same with chocolate, same with everything. But the big thing about it is one day at a time. Make everything manageable. Anyone could do 20 minutes today, exercise, or not eat chocolate for one day. Though if you start thinking about months and years, it becomes daunting. Mm. And it soon becomes a way of life. Anything you want to do, only do it for one day. I promise you. And that's how I gave up smoking. I went, I'm just not going to smoke today. This is also how you get over relationships as well and stuff like that. You think, I really want to speak to that person, or I need to message them, or I need to go online and stalk their social media or whatever. Just go one day. I'm not going to do it today. I'll do it tomorrow. Always convince you, like, I'm not going to smoke today, but I'm definitely going to smoke tomorrow. When you get to tomorrow, don't do it. If you go, I'm not going to do it for a month, like Mark's done there, I'm not going to drink for a month, then it's a task. It becomes a challenge, which you don't need. You don't need to challenge yourself to these things. You need to just do it. Whole month, Mark, without drinking?
Yeah. Done it before.
Yeah, you've done it loads, though, haven't you?
Yeah.
You're quite good at being able to do that, aren't you? Give up stuff. Yeah.
Well, I want to, you have to, if you want to enjoy it totally, you have to be able to give it up. When you stop giving stuff up, you're not enjoying it anymore, are you?
I don't know. Yeah, should we do one more? And then we got, and then we'll do the words, because I've got words for you. Because you, well, you sent me words.
I haven't done that for a very long time.
All right, I tell you what, here's a good one. Oh, I've got two. One quick one. This comes from Debbie. Tips for enjoying New Year's Eve when your life has been totally destroyed this year. And I just think half an hour. If you can do half an hour a day or an hour a day is even better. Just on your own, close your eyes, sit in a chair and think and visualize the future you want. I just think it's, I did a podcast on it not so long ago with his name escapes you now.
Oh, good. Another one.
Doty. He was absolutely brilliant. It's all about sort of meditating on your future and making sure that your future is the future that you want to believe in. And so, if you can just give yourself a few hours to do that, or a half an hour a day, I think that will really help. James Doty. It was episode 187. Have a look for that.
I was fired, wasn't it?
You're in prison, Mark.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And this one as well. I like this one. So this is our final one here. Should the singles of 2020 get vaccinated first? Do you know what? It's not a bad idea, because you know what single people are like? They're slags, aren't they, Mark? They're going around trying to have sex with other strangers, aren't they? Because the first time, every time you have sex with someone, it's the first time, it's probably stranger sex, really, isn't it? So they're out there and they're doing it. I thought that was funny when I picked up the Evening Standard one night and it said sex is banned. And I thought, oh, come on, you can ban everything else, but how are you going to stop people having sex? And it's like, you're not allowed around each other's houses to have sex. I thought, that is really not going to work, is it? Single people want to have sex. But I was thinking, if the next time we lock down, we have to lock down big time, maybe they should just take all the dating apps offline. So you're not allowed to date. You're not allowed to speak to each other and go for walks in the park, because you might spread dirty diseases. So it's a great shout. There you go, Robin. Great shout. Right. Mark gave me three words.
I did.
The first one is authority, which I struggled with. But you know what, Mark? I came up with a...
Of course you did, Tim, because it's all in there.
There's no jokes. It's just all in my head. So Mark gives me a word and I've got to search my brain for some great bits of advice from it. Authority. Behind every authority, there's a human. If you want to influence an authority, work out what makes the human behind authority tick. Okay, that's that one. The next word was decoration.
Oh, God. These are the ones that I know are going to be bad, because you can't start the sentence. Because you've written it maybe a day before or something, and you just glance and you go, oh, God, yeah, Christ.
It's hard work. It's hard work trying to think of crap to go with each one of these words. I did it for months, right? Decoration. Remember why you're decorating. It's to give you a feeling or an emotion, or both maybe. Make sure you choose the right emotion for the right room. Decorate properly and sensibly. So, for instance, Mark, I'll give you a good example there. Red is an exciting color. It's why ladies of the night use red. It's why nightclubs use red. If you just go and stick red in your bedroom, right, it might be good for a weekend night, but during the week when you need a bit of sleep because you've got to get up and do work the next day or look after the kids, you don't want red. So red is excitement. I think it's greens and yellows are calming, and that's why you go for those sort of colors. So that
white walls, decoration. Every time.
Yeah, everything in my house is like a mental asylum. Everything's white.
It's never gone out of fashion. If you look back at the 60s when they had those cool flats in London, white walls, floorboards, and ever since then, that's never, ever gone out of fashion.
Yeah.
If you're renting a place, white walls, floorboards, you're going to get rid of it.
Yeah, I went through a stage where I had like a, what do you call those? Feature wall.
Yeah.
Do you remember in my house I had that black wallpaper?
I do. It was like furry, wasn't it?
No. It had like, silver lines all going down like a chain type thing down it. And I thought that was absolutely fantastic.
Because you watched an episode of Changing Rooms, didn't you?
It was just exactly right. I flicked through a few El Decors and thought, I can do this. So I put it down. But, you know, just get white, it's just easier. And then stick some art on it. And then away you go. Right, my final one is Cathedral. The reasons cathedrals are big and grand is they're supposed to reflect an entity that is big and grand. Christianity wouldn't have the same impact if they worshipped in wooden huts. So remember, if you're starting a religion, make sure you look grand.
Some great useful advice there for all those people out there starting a religion. Really, really helpful bit of universal advice. Well done there, Tim.
You know what I'd love to do? I'd love to do it. Hey, you say that, Scientology, that's a pretty new religion. When did that start? When did Ron 60s, Hubbard?
Wasn't it 50s, 60s, something
like that? I don't know. Ron Hubbard was an author, wasn't he? Ron L. Hubbard. He died.
L. Roy Hubbard, yeah.
He was
a science fiction.
Is it L. Roy or Roy L.?
Elroy. I think it's Elroy Hubbard.
Okay. Yeah, he's a science fiction writer who's now gone or something. Have you seen their churches? They've got these huge,
amazing.
They've got these huge, great big buildings. They've got a lot of cash in there. I've always thought it would be a really good TV show. I'm not sure how you get through compliance to start a cult. See if you could just start one. What does a cult need, Mark? You need
followers.
Right, followers. So that is that hard? You need followers. Then you need sort of like some ideas, some theories.
Yep.
Then you need an enemy.
Yeah.
I think every good cult has an enemy.
You make the outside world the enemy so inside the cult is the only place you are safe, isn't it?
Safe. Anybody who doesn't agree with you is the enemy, yeah?
Have you watched any stuff about cults? Remember there was that one about that, it was about 5 or 6 episodes. Have you seen that one on Netflix?
No.
I'll look it up for you. It's really interesting. And the other one was really good is the Jonestown one that was on iPlayer. It's a Storyville one. You know, but you know about Jonestown, don't you?
No, remind me.
He started a church, then he started a cult, essentially a cult, and then he took them all out into the middle of the somewhere in South America, and basically built this idyll. And then, I won't spoil the ending, but the ending is the bleakest ending you can think of. Imaginable.
Oh, I wonder what it could be. They all killed.
Well, no, but yeah.
Because, that's what always happens in the cult. So you need that. You need that. And then you need your enemy. You need a song. Always good to have some songs, some music. Maybe clothes. Because they always they always have an outfit, right? Well,
like a uniform, yeah.
Yeah, like purple or, I don't know, or white robes or whatever it is. Or, you know, a trilby hat, a deer stalker. Whatever it is, you need something like that. And then I think sex comes into it quite a lot. Do you think? You need
Then you start fathering all the children of the next generation of the cult, if you're the cult leader.
But you need some sex rules. It's either free for all or only on a Tuesday. Or as soon as you start controlling the sex and what's happening with the sex, and if you're the leader, it's probably I have sex with anyone I want. But yeah, and that's how you do it. Maybe we should do a podcast: How to Start a Cult.
We should find a cult. You should find a cult. I'm going back to prison. We should find a cult. I'm on day release.
Why don't we start a cult?
I'm wasting my day.
I like to keep this like in an hour now. I think that's the best way to keep it. So we've got about a minute left. So I think in the last minute we should discuss what podcasts we should have. We should do that. We should just have a creative meeting on here and decide as a podcast and decide other podcasts that people can make. So How to Start a Cult is good. We came up with one the other day, didn't we? Which was like pub quiz. Yeah, we could do that. Any other ideas for a podcast? I like the idea of starting a cult just from scratch.
Someone must have done a TV show. Someone like Danny Wallace.
Yeah, didn't he do How to Make a Nation or something?
Yeah, I wondered if he'd done that.
But if you start off as a joke and then eventually you get people into it and then eventually they send you money and you become very rich.
Oh, that reminds me, brilliant film on Netflix called Rose Island. It's an Italian film, true story about these couple of guys who built a platform 6 miles off the coast out in international waters and started their own country. It's brilliant. Mm. Watch that, Rose Island.
I'll give that a go. Mark, it's been a pleasure talking to you today. As always, it's been great. 200 episodes of this podcast.
Well, congratulations.
Oh, thank you, Mark. Award winning as well, as you know.
Of course and, it is. Have you won again this year?
I haven't yet. I must do that soon. Yeah. But lovely to talk to you. Yeah. And I'm sure we'll be speaking to each other very soon.
Yeah. Take care, man.
Bye.
Bye.
Dear Lovejoy is written and hosted by Tim Lovejoy and produced by Blake Fallows. It's brought to you by Cooker, spelled Quooker. Check them out at cooker.co.uk. That's spelled Q-U-O-O-K-E-R. If you want to get in touch with Tim, email dearlovejoy@gmail.com. And Tim is on Twitter @TimLovejoy and on Instagram @TimLovejoy_official.